If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 8. And if you're visiting with us, I'd like to welcome you and let you know that we're in a series from Paul's letter to the Roman Christians. Romans chapter 8, let's stand together as we read just two verses of Scripture this morning. Verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Thank you. You may be seated. I was struck this week as I read the second to the last verse of Romans 8, where Paul says, "I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God." This is the same Paul that wrote just one chapter earlier in Romans 7, the second to the last verse of that chapter, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall rescue me?" Now, how does a man go from feeling like an utter wretch to a man who can say, "Nothing shall separate me from the love of God"? This is one of the reasons why I love Romans chapter 8 so much. Because if you read Romans 8 and all that Paul says, and by the Spirit of God begin to understand it, you can go from the darkest day of your life, knowing yourself to be nothing but a sinner, an utter failure, yes, even a wretch of a human being, to the place that you can say, like Paul, "I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God." I want to point out to you that nothing in Romans 8, nothing is said about your obedience, your commitment. Nothing is said about even your walk with Christ. Everything revolves around the Spirit of God and what God is doing for you, in you, and through you. Now, why is this important? Well, because in our modern Christianity, we have lost sight of focusing on God and His work. And all we really ever hear about is what we ought to be doing, should be doing, must be doing. In fact, I have the habit of listening to pastors preach on the internet. And I love doing that. In fact, as I'm working on the computer or playing on the computer, I will listen to messages. And I would encourage you to do that as well. And listen to different kinds of preachers and different kinds of preaching. I think it'll be edifying for you. But there was a church that had contacted Rochelle and me and so on, and we were not interested and told them that, but they asked us to go to their website. And I went to the website, and I listened to their staff preach. They were without a pastor. And I listened to 8 messages the other night from their staff. And I just thought to myself, oh my, I'm not sure that church could even begin to receive the message that I teach. Because all I heard in those 8 messages was what the people ought to have been doing, what they need to be doing, how they have fallen short of what God expected and intended. And then it was all about getting the people worked up to make new decisions to serve Christ. I was worn out listening to him preach. We've lost sight of biblical teaching. When you read Romans 8 and find out what God is doing, You can move from feeling like the wretch you and I are to being persuaded that He loves us. And I want to show you how. I want to show you three things about God's love from these two verses. Number one, God's love is found in a person. In fact, I would propose to you that the two most important words in these two verses are the two words in Christ. They're found there in verse 39 where the Bible says, "Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ." Do you know what Paul is saying? Regardless of what religion will teach you, regardless of what the world wants to hear, the love of God only abides upon those who are in Christ. Now, this is not politically correct to say today. In fact, if you want to be hated, if you want to be persecuted, if you want people not to like you, you tell them that God's love is only upon those who are in Jesus Christ. Oh boy, that'll get you some persecution. In fact, one of the reasons why I think the modern church is not as persecuted as the early church is because the message of the modern church has been watered down. We want to talk about the love of God for every human being. We want to be politically correct and say to the Buddhist or the Taoist or the follower of Islam that the love of God is upon him. Where the Bible teaches just the opposite. The love of God is found in a person, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a person is not in Christ, the love of God is not upon that person. In fact, Robert Haldane put it like this: "Whoever is not or shall not be in Christ is not loved by the Father, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now, don't misunderstand. In fact, I am very familiar with the verses that say that God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. In other words, when He judges a person who is not in Christ, there's no glee in the judgment. There's no glee in the condemnation. But now listen to me. You cannot say there is love either. I think there's compassion. There's mercy. But the love of God is only found in a person. And if you refuse the person in whom the love of God abides, the love of God does not abide upon you. You say, why is that? Well, a couple of very good reasons. Number one, Jesus Christ is the only answer to the problem of sin. And this is why God's love is found only in Him. Men in general are fond of contemplating God as a God of benevolence. They always attempt to flatter Him by praising His love and His goodness. But God's love for sinners is exercised only through the atonement made to His justice by the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. This is pictured throughout the Old Testament. For instance, in Egypt, there was no protection for the firstborn of the children of Israel or even the firstborn of the children of Egypt, except that the heads of the households would take the sacrificial lamb and place the blood of the lamb in a basin and take a hyssop branch, that is, it's like a fig leaf branch. It would have figs on it. And dip it into the blood. And then place the blood on the doorpost of their home. The father would place it on the top of the door, on the left side of the door, on the right side of the door, and then he would sprinkle the blood on the threshold. This was in the form of a cross. The death angel passed over the homes, thus we call it Passover, where the blood was placed. And the firstborn were protected. But the judgment of God came upon the homes where there was no blood. Because the blood in the Old Testament was a picture of the coming Lamb of God who shed his blood at Calvary on behalf of sinners. And the love of God for sinners abides only in Christ. Because Christ made satisfaction to the justice of God for those sinners who are in him. This is why the love of God is found only in Christ. And this is why religion will never help you. This is why only the gospel is the really good news. Religion points you to what you do and what you must do and what you haven't done. The gospel points you to what God has done for sinners through his Son. This is true in the Old Testament of those who were saved from the flood. The only ones who were saved from the wrath of God were those who were in the ark. Now, the ark was constructed by Noah under orders from God. And it's interesting to note that when Noah constructed the ark, and it took him years, the Bible says that he covered the boards with pitch. That's the King James word. He covered the boards inside and out with pitch that was some kind of material that glued the boards together, that made them waterproof. It's interesting to note that the Hebrew word translated pitch is the word kafar. It is the word translated atonement throughout the Bible. So literally, the people in the ark were covered by atonement. The love of God is found only in those who are in Christ, covered by his atonement. Because God will never love anyone until his justice is satisfied. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior ever given to sinners. And this is why the love of God is found only in Christ. He is the answer to the problem of sin. Second, Christ is the answer to the problem of security. If God's love for me were dependent upon my goodness or my ability to be loved, I could never have any security that God loved me. And by the way, this is the mistake that some of our friends who don't understand the doctrine of Romans, the teaching of Paul, this is the mistake that they make. For instance, some of our Pentecostal friends, some of our Nazarene friends, who speak of the love of God, picture God's love like an open hand for every person. And they say that the way you enter into the love of God is by placing yourself in his hand by things you do. Now, the list will vary from church to church. For some, it's just faith and repentance. For others, it's continuing in doing what you're supposed to be doing and so on. But what they say is, if you don't continue in what you're doing, then you place yourself outside of his hand again. Now, they say that the love of God never ends. But his love is like an open hand. You come in one day, you leave the next. In one day, you leave the next. And you never can really be sure if you die loved by God, because you might have taken yourself out of his love. Now, his love doesn't end. It's just that you've moved. Well, I think that's a very poor analogy. The love of God is not like an open hand. It's like a closed fist. God's love is more pictured as him, the Lord, snatching sinners and embracing them with his hand, giving them to Christ, covering their sins through the atonement and loving them because he has chosen to love them. In fact, Robert Haldane again puts it like this. We should not look for the cause of God's love for us in our works or anything in ourselves, but in Jesus Christ alone. Now, many of you might ask, well, who's Haldane? Well, in 1820, Haldane moved to Geneva, Switzerland. And he went there to begin a ministry, but he didn't know anybody. So he checked into a hotel room, and he began to meet some busboys, some people who worked in the hotel, who introduced him to their friends, and he invited them up to his room where he began to teach them Romans. Through the teaching of Romans, literally dozens of young men in Geneva, Switzerland were converted, and what is now known as the Haldane Revival began. Robert Haldane put his finger on the root of the love of God. It cannot be found in anything in and of ourselves. It is found in his sovereign will in choosing to love sinners. Because there's two things that I've learned from Scripture over the years about me and Christ, and it's this. There is nothing good in every person, including me. And there is nothing evil in but one person, Jesus Christ. And if sinners ever desire to be accepted by God, they must be found in the righteous one. Now, there's some disagreement as to how a person is placed in Christ among good evangelical Christians. And when I use the term good, what I mean is people who preach the gospel, the good news. There's some disagreement as to when a person gets in Christ. For instance, some evangelicals say that a person is placed in Christ and comes into union with him, is placed under the atonement when they believe. And you know what? I fellowship with folks who believe that. That's probably a vast majority of people. It's not the historic teaching of not only Scripture, but the church. But they're still evangelicals. You say, well, when are people placed in Christ? Well, as we'll see in Romans 9, God is the one who does the placing. And he does it before we even existed. Before any of us had done anything good or bad. Now, you may argue with that, but I want you to realize that you're going to be arguing with Paul and ultimately God. Because when God chooses to love sinners, and he takes sinners from every nation, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every family, and gives them to Christ before the foundation of the world, and tells Christ to redeem those sinners, the love of God in Christ is forever sealed for his people because Christ has become our covenant head. He has become our representative. We have been placed in him. You say, well, now wait a minute now. But I want to know whether or not I am in Christ. I want to know whether or not God loves me. All right, let me show you how the love of God is felt. The love of God is felt by a persuasion. Look what Paul says. For I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. In this word persuasion, we see the nature and quality of faith. To be persuaded means we take home to our own hearts the truth of God's grace and love for sinners in Jesus Christ. In other words, verses like this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. These kinds of verses become very personal to us. I believe in my heart. I have confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I have taken Christ as my own. This is how Paul became persuaded of the love of God. You see, this is how the Bible keeps it so balanced. On the one hand, you have the sovereignty of God in choosing to love sinners. But on the other hand, you have sinners who need to be persuaded that God loved them. I am persuaded. Do you know when I was persuaded? I was 17. I'd grown up in a preacher's home. I knew the gospel mentally, but I really didn't know my need of a Savior until, in probably the deepest, darkest moment of my life, in my room on the floor, crying my eyes out before God. Because my sin was felt deeply. The promises of the gospel came home to my heart. Christ didn't come to save righteous people. He came to save sinners. This is why it is not hard for me to admit that I'm a sinner. This is why I don't have to try to hide from you and pretend I'm somebody I'm not. I freely admit to you that I am the chief of sinners. This is why we're in a grace church where we don't have to hide and pretend we're holier than we are. We understand that God is at work in the hearts of sinners. And I am persuaded that He loves me. Are you persuaded? The love of God is only felt by our persuasion. Now, listen to me carefully. Your persuasion does not cause God to love you. Your persuasion is the faith that He gives you to believe He loves you. But in closing, I want you to see what the main emphasis of this text, and it's this: the love of God is forever, forever for His people. Now, when I use the term forever, I mean I go backwards. I go backwards forever. All right, now you may not be able to do that, and that's okay. Hopefully, by the time Romans 9 is over, you'll be able to do that. You may can only go forwards because of something that you've done now. You can only go forwards. That's all right. I'll accept that. You just remember this. What Paul is saying is this: I am persuaded that God's love for me is forever. And look what he says. He gives us 10 specific things that will not separate us from the love of God. Number one, death. Oh, the difference between the death of a person in Christ and the death of a person outside of Christ. If you've ever been in a room where a person is dying in the Lord Jesus, it's a precious thing. Death does not separate God's people from God's love. Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of one of His saints. Life. Oh, nothing in life shall separate you from God's love. Not a thing. Angels. No demonic entity or even Satan himself is able to pluck you out of God's hand, because God is the one that placed you in His hand. He wrote your name in the palm of His hand. You are the apple of His eye. He's engraven your name on His heart. He carries you on His shoulders. He's emblazoned your name on the jewels of His crown. You are loved by God, and Satan himself cannot get God to not love you. Principalities nor powers. These are civil authorities, sometimes even religious leaders, political powers. All are powerless before God. And somebody can say to you that you are not loved by God, but it doesn't negate the love of God for His people. You may even be falsely disciplined by a church because you've taken a stand for Scripture. Nothing can separate you from God. Things present nor things to come. Problems now, problems future. Problems you're facing right now, problems to come. Nothing. Nothing shall separate you from His love. Nor height, nor depth. The highest degree of blessing or the lowest degree of adversity. No matter how much you're blessed, no matter how much you're persecuted, the love of God will never be separated from you. No matter the affliction you bear, the love of God will never abandon you. Nor any other creature. This last phrase encompasses anything else you could ever imagine. Now, folks, listen to me very carefully, and I'm done. All the country and western songs speak about a love that people are looking for. Oh, if I could only find that love. Oh, the love that I search and long for. It's love this, love that. My friend, the only love that really matters is the love of God in Jesus Christ. You may be abandoned by somebody in this life who should love you, but don't despair. The one who counts will never separate His love from your soul.